So we're walking through the book of Philippians. And last week we came back to it after a break over the Christmas period. And Philippi is what then was Macedonia and now is northern Greece. So we've got modern day Turkey on the right there and then Greece coming down there. And these towns here are towns that Paul visited and in particular wrote letters to. So we're looking at this book of Philippians and come to this passage in Charlie has just read out. And I like the Philippian church because we know the names of so many people who were part of the early church there. Right at the beginning, we read about them in Acts chapter 16, and indeed in this letter as well. So there was Lydia, who was at the prayer group down by the river, and the Lord opened her heart, and she came to faith in Christ. And it doesn't say, but maybe some of the other women as well. But we know that Lydia and her whole household were baptized and came to faith in Christ. And then there was the jailer, because there was a riot and uproar in Philippi, and Paul and Silas were put in jail, and they were singing praises to God at midnight, even though they had deep scars on their backs from the beating. And then there was an earthquake, and they were set free. We've got all that story. But the jailer and his whole household also came to faith. And so he was part of that early church. And then we've got Euodia and Syntyche, who are two ladies who are mentioned in this letter, who were not getting on particularly well, but trust that they made it up. Paul certainly encouraged that they should make it up. And then we've got Epaphroditus, who comes into our passage this morning. We've got someone who's called Loyal Yoke Fellow. We don't exactly know who he is, but he could possibly be Epaphroditus. And then the slave girl as well. And the indications are that they met at the at Lydia's house in Philippi. It's estimated that the average church size of the early New Testament churches, given that they met in homes almost exclusively, was just 20 to 30 people. So maybe that's an encouragement for us this morning. A small church, but it was a small church. Well, later it grew. But when it was small, it was a small church with a big vision. Because they had the vision in their heart, which was really the vision that Jesus gave to his disciples after the resurrection, to go into all the world and take the gospel message into all the world and to all the nations. We call it the Great Commission. And of course, not all can go, but all can be involved. And the Philippians were involved in particular in their support for Paul. And in this passage, we come across two individuals, two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And they were involved as well. And they were involved with Paul's ministry. Now, it tells us in our passage in verse 24 that Paul very much wanted to visit the Philippians. After all, he planted the church with his team. He knew them well. He was concerned for their welfare. And so he planned to send Timothy, who was his co-worker. We'll say a bit more about him in a moment. He was also, if we remember, co-author with the letter of the letter. It says right at the beginning, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, introducing the letter, even though we see in the letter as mainly of the hand of Paul. So he planned to send Timothy to the Philippians, and he also planned to send Epaphroditus back to the Philippian church in order to encourage them. So we're going to look at these two young men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and learn a bit from them to see what we can learn from them. Now, I'm going a bit outside this passage, particularly for Timothy. And I want to look at, first of all, their family background, from what we know about it. Secondly, their God-given task. And thirdly, their Christian character. So let's look, first of all, at Timothy and Timothy's background. Who was Timothy? Well, as I said, doesn't tell us much about it or anything really about it in the passage here. But there's a lot about Timothy in the New Testament. In fact, Paul wrote two letters, personal letters, to Timothy, which are known as pastoral letters, to encourage Timothy in his work of ministry. They're called 1 and 2 Timothy. In both of those letters, Paul addresses Timothy as my true son in the faith, or my dear son. Paul had a particularly close relationship with Timothy, like a father and a son. And it's very likely that actually Timothy was converted through Paul's ministry on Paul's first missionary journey. He became a fellow worker, a co-worker with Paul in his work of the gospel to take the gospel to the nations of the known world at the time. So Timothy was the son of a Greek father and a Jewish mother. We even know the name of his mother, Eunice. We also know the name of his grandmother, Lois. And we know about Eunice and Lois that they were both devout in their, first of all, in their Jewish faith, but they also both became believers in Jesus. And they both had a strong influence in young Timothy's life in regard to their faith. We're not told hardly anything about his father except that he was Greek, and we might imagine that he wasn't a believer. So Paul wrote to Timothy, and this is in the second book of Timothy. He said, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So Timothy really had quite an advantage in his life. From an early age, he had a familiarity with the Scriptures. And undoubtedly, that helped to shape and to form him into the person that God had called him to be. Now, just thinking, who are the people who have influenced us in our lives? Who are the people who've pointed us to Jesus? And actually, some of us, some more than others, have had the privilege of having the Bible at least around from a young age. And we've learned some of it, or maybe in some cases, a lot of it. But there's a big difference between knowing some of, or even a lot of, the Bible in our heads and knowing what Paul is talking about in this verse in 2 Timothy, where he speaks about the salvation that comes through knowing Christ, knowing that salvation in our experience. See, Timothy was taught the Scriptures from a very young age, but as an adult, he came to know the one about whom the scriptures speak. That is, Jesus Christ. And he became his Lord and Saviour. And then he went on to serve the Lord. And as we see in our passage this morning, was a remarkable person and left a remarkable example for all of us. Let's look secondly at Epaphroditus. Now, when it comes to Epaphroditus, the only thing we know about him is here in our passage. Of course, there's nothing directly here about his background, but we do get quite a significant clue just from his name, because his name, Epaphroditus, actually derives from the name of the Greek goddess of love and fertility. And actually, just thinking earlier what we were saying about love, there's a very different view of love if you're associated with that cult of Aphrodite than the Christian view of love. Anyway, it's actually very likely that his family were pagans and quite possibly associated with this cult of Aphrodite. But at some point, Epaphroditus heard the gospel. At some point in his life, he was converted to Christ. And even without the privileges that Timothy had, he became an outstanding Christian and an example for others to follow. It's not all about our background. It's about knowing Jesus. And actually, think about the Apostle Paul himself. He wrote the letter. This was his testimony. Well, we need to remember who he was. He was a man who had been not only read the scriptures on his mother's knee or whatever, he had been to the best institutions to study the scriptures and theology of his day. And as we know, not only that, he was top of the class. But all that knowledge, all that study didn't change his heart, didn't deal with his sin. And that only happened when he found, as he said in this verse in 2 Timothy, the salvation that comes through faith in Christ. This was his testimony. He said, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent man." We know he went round from house to house, rounding up the Christians to put them into prison. "But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and in unbelief." And then listen to this. "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." And it was Paul himself who said, wasn't it, "Where sin abounds, there grace abounds even more." And we see that in that amazing grace in Paul's life. Whatever our background, however much of the Bible we know or we don't know, what we need for any of it to make sense is this abundant grace of our Lord, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And this is what both Timothy and Epaphroditus found. But let's look secondly at their God-given task. As I said at the beginning, Paul planned to send Timothy to the Philippian church. So in verse 19, it says, Paul says at the beginning of our passage, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered when I receive news about you." Here we see Paul's concern for the Christians at Philippi. He was concerned for their welfare, their spiritual and no doubt general welfare. He wanted to receive news of them. No email, no WhatsApp, etc. Things happened a lot slower in those days, didn't they? But he sent Timothy that he might be able to receive news of their welfare. And no doubt that Timothy would also be able to give them an update on Paul as well. Of course, at that time, Paul in prison, probably Rome, maybe Ephesus, but certainly we know writing from prison. You see, Timothy wasn't just sent as a messenger boy. He was being sent as a minister of the gospel. Verse 22, it says, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Paul was not just sending Timothy to receive a message, but as we read carefully, we realize that he was sending Timothy, who was a minister of the gospel, to undoubtedly strengthen the Philippian church, maybe to give them some teaching, to encourage them in the faith, and so on. Let's look secondly at Epaphroditus. This is in verse 25. "But I think it's necessary to send back to you, Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." And here we see the reciprocal relationship between Paul, who was on the front line of mission and fulfilling the Great Commission to take the gospel and his call to the nations, and the church, if you like, at church at home, who was supporting him, and as it said here, as Paul said, to take care of my needs. Because first of all, they had sent some time previously, Epaphroditus, to Paul for a purpose, and that was to take some gifts, monetary gifts, maybe some other gifts, we don't really know, to take them to Paul. And we actually find this in chapter 4 of the letter. "I have received full payment and more than enough. I'm amply supplied now," said Paul, "now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent." And then Paul says, they're like for him a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. We might say that they're an expression of Christ's love through the Philippians for Paul. And again, Epaphroditus was more than a postman or an errand boy. In this verse, Paul calls him, first of all, my brother in the faith. But he also calls him my co-worker. And then he adds my fellow soldier. When we're thinking of being a soldier, we think of difficulty, struggle, conflict, and so on. And Epaphroditus had been through those things. So he calls him my brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier. And this was in the Lord's work. Undoubtedly, Epaphroditus had been very helpful to Paul while he was with Paul. But now he felt very strongly that it was time to send him back to Philippi, and we'll see why in just a moment. But let's now look at their Christian character, which I think brings us to the heart of this message. Paul commends these two men. Paul presents these two men as examples for the Philippians to follow. And in fact, we see that they were both living examples of the very thing that Paul was teaching in the book of Philippians. So, Timothy first, Paul says, I have no one else like him who will show a genuine concern for your welfare. Everyone looks for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. That's quite a commendation. I have no one like Timothy. Paul had a concern for the Philippian church, so he sends Timothy. Timothy wanted to put the Lord first in his life. He said, everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But Timothy was different. Demas was one of Paul's fellow workers at one point, but later Paul wrote, Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. He knew that wouldn't happen with Timothy. Timothy was someone Paul could count on and be completely put his trust in. We're not all going to be Timothys, but we can seek to follow that example. And in fact, again, this ties in very much with the very thing that Paul is teaching in this letter. For example, in the beginning of chapter 2, where Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each to the interests of others. And then, of course, he goes on to show how this was the attitude of Jesus through his laying down of his life. And it will be a challenge for each one of us, not only today, but throughout our Christian walk. But secondly, Epaphroditus. Again, a man who served the Lord wholeheartedly. Verses 26 to 30 says, for he longs for all of you. He's distressed because you heard that he was ill. And indeed, he was ill and he almost died. But God had mercy on him, not only on him, but me also, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I might have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. We do not know the exact circumstances of Epaphroditus's illness, or exactly what it was, how he contracted it, or any of the details. We do know that he almost died as a result of it, and we understand here that this was connected with the work of Christ, because he had put himself in the way of danger, which we don't like to do very much, usually. We like to be very safe. But as they say, sometimes risk is spelt F-A-I-T-H, faith. Again, Epaphroditus, a living example of Paul's teaching, particularly in chapter 1, where Paul recognizes that actually suffering can be necessary for the advancement of the gospel. I don't think Paul took any pleasure in finding himself in the situation in which he was in, which is in prison, but he realized as a result of it that actually the gospel had been heard in the heart of power in the whole of the Roman Empire in Caesar's household. And he realized also that the brothers had become more bold in preaching the gospel. Likewise, with Epaphroditus, although he suffered, he was doing God's work and furthering God's work. It says that God had mercy on him and he recovered. And then he returned to the church at Philippi. Two men that we can learn from, and I just actually want to pray. I just have not finished this very well, but in a sense that's okay. I think I've shared the message. Dear Lord, we praise and thank you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you set before us, O Lord, in Scripture, examples to follow. We thank you, Lord, that through it that you do speak to our hearts, O Lord. And Heavenly Father, that you challenge us, O Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, today for this passage. We thank you for Timothy, who is a man who really had an extraordinary and genuine welfare for the need and of others, O Lord, and was able to see what people needed. And Lord, that's an example for us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this man, Epaphroditus, about whom we would know nothing apart from the fact he's mentioned in these few passages. And we think, Lord, of the hundreds and thousands and perhaps millions of people and Christians about whom we know nothing, O Lord. And yet they've set an example in their communities. And Epaphroditus set an example in his community. And someone who was greatly desirous to see the church prosper and the gospel message go out into the world. So help us, Lord, we pray today. Likewise, Lord, though small, Heavenly Father, to have that same heart for mission, O Lord, we pray. Thank you, O Lord, today for those missions that we do support, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, for 4-H and 500K and the work in Malawi, O Lord, Jews for Jesus, Lord. Thank you for them, O Lord. We do pray, Father, for them today. Prosper their work, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.